Welcome to edition number 7 of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, welcoming you, the adult with ADHD. This is a safe place for you to go, a place where you don't have to worry about putting on a mask. You can be yourself, listen to the information, and Club ADHD is a safe place all the way around. That's why it was created, a place where you can go and be you. You don't have to worry about other people's perceptions, or to find out perhaps if you're hiding the fact that you have ADHD, and there are many people who do, and unfortunately, rightfully so. We have this podcast. We also have two other elements of Club ADHD. We have the Facebook page and the Twitter account. If you want to learn more on how you can connect to those items, it's simple. Just visit clubadhd.ca. That's clubadhd.ca. Club ADHD is a presentation of CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. And I urge you to visit their website. It's a great website. Lots of information there. And it's addressed as CADAC.ca. That's CADDAC.ca. Now, depending upon when you're listening to this podcast, on October the 14th and 15th of 2017, that's a Saturday and Sunday, they have their 9th annual conference. That's what CADAC does. They have a conference every year, as well as doing good work throughout the year for ADHD awareness. But if you want to hear some terrific speakers talk about ADHD, if you want to maybe share your thoughts with fellow ADHDers, because that's a place where you can go, just like Club ADHD. And I often hear at every conference, people say, it's so nice to be at a place where we don't have to pretend. We can be ourselves. Well, that conference is happening on the 14th of October and the 15th, Saturday and Sunday, in Calgary. For more information, visit CADAC.ca. Well, I'm recording this on October the 3rd. A few days after a tragic weekend, we had the Edmonton incident where someone decided to take a vehicle and try to run down some people and then tried to run down an officer, then got out of the car and started stabbing the officer. Thank goodness no one died. No casualties, yes, people were hurt, but nothing that goes along the lines of what happened the next day in Las Vegas. What a tragic event. No words can really describe it. Just pure evil, as the President of the United States put it. And you know, if you happen to have ADHD with depression, and we've talked about this before, but depression is one of those things that easily goes with ADHD. It's, you know, easy to get really down on society, down on people, due to the actions of a few. But those actions are so terrible. I often wonder, how can someone be so evil? But, you know, throughout history, we have had evil people in society doing some terrible things. And I can only hearken back to the words of a person by the name of Mrs. Rogers. She had a son. Her son's name, Fred Rogers. Yes, that's right, from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. He was a child at one time, and his mother was concerned about Fred when he was subjected to tragic events in the news, because as kids, sometimes it's hard to avoid it. Now, I don't know if Fred had a TV back in the day. Maybe not. Maybe it was radio and, of course, newspapers and just what people are talking about in general. When it comes to tragedies, tragedy means news, and it's sometimes hard for kids to avoid that news. Now, Mrs. Rogers had a fantastic way of trying to offset this madness for her son. She said, look for the helpers. What great advice. Look for the helpers. Now, if you're down in the dumps, if you are struggling with life and thinking, what's going on? Take some time and look for the helpers, because they're always out there. They are. They are in Las Vegas. They were in Edmonton. They're there. And with that, you can, well, maybe not offset. Well, perhaps you can offset things by saying, yes, one person or a small group of people can make such traumatic events happen, tragic events happen. But if you look for the helpers, they often outnumber the people doing the tragic situations or making the tragic situations. In the case of Edmonton, talk about a helper. When that police officer was being stabbed, there was a good Samaritan who could have just, he could have ran, but he didn't. He decided to help. And with his help, probably saved the policeman's life. That officer's life has been saved because of a good Samaritan. Now, when it comes to Las Vegas, there were lots of people doing heroic deeds during what seemed to be an eternity. I've listened to people who were there, and they say it seemed like this would never end. What, it went on for 15 minutes? That can be a lifetime, especially if you get shot. It can be a life. It seemed like forever. Now, I also heard stories about people being heroic. The helpers. When all this was taking place, the helpers, and even after the dust has settled, there are helpers who continue to assist people. Even as I record this, there are people who are donating blood, there are people who are accepting the blood, there are people who are psychologically helping the people who have gone through this traumatic event. The helpers, they are there. So if you are getting down about life because of what you hear in the news, what you see in the news, remember, take Mrs. Rogers' advice and look for the helpers. Especially if you're having a crisis, look for the helpers. They are out there. Make the calls to the hotlines in your area. Or maybe even visit CADAC at cadacs.ca to find out more about ADHD if you happen to be, well, upset about your lot in life when it comes to having ADHD, and there are people who are like that. People are there to help you. Let's not forget that. That's my soapbox portion for today. Now, let's go to the portion that we call the interview portion of the podcast, or otherwise known as the interview portion of the podcast. What else? Our interview guest is Pete Quilley. Pete is a well-known ADHD coach, advocate, and a person with ADHD. Pete is based out of Vancouver. We start the interview with Pete talking about how he came to find out that he was living his life with something called ADHD.
I was diagnosed, I think, in my early 30s. I went to Richmond Public Library. I live in Vancouver, B.C., but they had Mac computers, and they're more advanced than us, so I went down there during a job hunt, and I saw Chad Richmond, which sadly is no longer around, display on ADHD. Chad is Children Adults with ADD, ADD International Support Group, and they had a list of symptoms on a poster on the wall of ADD, and being the curious sort, you know, we notice everything, right, other than paperwork that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it, and I'm just looking like, boom, 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 boom. Holy crap, this is me. Because had most people with ADD, I've had it all my life, but you don't know what it is.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, 90% of adults with ADD are undiagnosed. Dr. Russell Barkley is mentioned and untreated. And so it was just like a bolt out of the blue.
Do you find that a lot of the people, the adults who find out about ADHD, do it somewhat by accident, much like what you did?
Yeah, what I find out is often it's their kids that uh-huh. have ADD.
Yep.
And, you know, depending on, you know, if they're male or female, males are usually in denial longer than women, but not always, you know. Then they start to kind of like, hey, you know, like I have some of these symptoms. Or they'll have so many problems in their life that maybe they've lost their X number of jobs,
right,
gotten fired or had to quit, or, you know, they're on their third wife, and then they're starting to realize, maybe it's me, maybe it's something else, right?
What about your perception of ADHD up until then? I know when I was self-diagnosed as well, and then got it confirmed, but up until then, I thought that was just kids running around, just being troublesome, and feed them Ritalin, and they'll calm down. What was your perspective?
Back then, I'm not sure I even had a perspective of ADD. I'm not sure. It was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think it even crossed my radar. And my dad, who's not retired, but was an educational psychologist with a PhD and taught at McGill, he never spotted it.
Really?
My uncle was a psychiatrist. He never spotted it. I think, you know, part of the problem is back then, and sadly even today, but it was worse back then, that, you know, ADD, my impression was is that you had to be totally off the charts.
Right.
Right? Literally climbing the walls.
Yep, that's what I thought.
And if that wasn't it, then there was no such thing, right?
Yeah, you're just a little troubled kid, you know, creating some problems.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people still think of that.
Sadly.
Nowadays, I've got a list of people I send out who are known to diagnose and treat ADD in the Vancouver area, the third biggest city in Canada. And I've sent that out for, you know, almost a decade and a half, thousands, plural, of times, in the third biggest city. God help you if you're out of Metro Vancouver. And I've lost track of how many stories I've had. My doctor doesn't believe in ADD.
Yeah.
It's not like theology. It's not a matter of belief. It's
right.
A matter of science. Or my doctor thinks I can't have ADD because I did well in school. Well, I made the dean's honor list. There are PhDs with ADHD. I couldn't have ADD because, you know, you do well at your business. You know, you have business. You can't have ADD. There's 4 billionaires with ADHD.
Sure.
Right.
And so, some people think that, well, it's just an excuse. You talk about faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just labeling yourself that so you have something to blame it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the worst thing. It's can you imagine, like, hey, you've got a physical problem,
right?
Like, say you've got, and you know, some, like, say you've got a liver problem or a kidney problem, and in addition to the actual physical problem yourself, you have someone shaming you for it. How dare you have a liver problem? How dare you have diabetes? You don't really have cancer. You're just faking it. You just need to try harder, right?
It's like telling someone with a broken leg they've got to tap dance.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need glasses. You just need to squint.
Right.
Right. And part of the problem with ADD is that there's... ADD is where depression was maybe 30 years ago, right? Back then, they were saying the same sort of things about depression other than the hyperactive stuff. Oh, it's not real. Oh, you just got to suck it up. Oh, hey, he just jumped off the bridge. He's dead.
Right.
Oh, maybe I was wrong. Yeah, well, good job, Bob. You helped be the person to sort of encourage that. I hope you sleep well at night, Bob. And the problem in Canada, unlike the States, is that so few Canadians who are in public prominent positions go public and talk about ADD.
Right.
The way stigma was reduced in the States, you know, it wasn't just policymakers just started reading research and thinking and like, hey, this is real, this is a consequence, economic and social, would take it seriously. A lot of it was you had celebrities or famous people, politicians, go public with depression, and it's harder to demonize someone when you actually have a live human being that you may know or relate to, even if they're famous, right? Even if you don't know them personally, right? And we don't have enough of that in Canada. And I think, I hope more people in Canada in prominent positions in the public, whether they be celebrities in the media, politicians, entrepreneurs, union leaders, that sort of thing, go public and explain what ADD is, not just the sort of like the diagnostic, the DSM-5 stuff, but the actual personal thing. It's harder to hate or to condemn something when you actually have like real live people.
Right. And the sad thing about it is that when people hear Joe Blow say that he has ADHD, it compares nothing like if a celebrity says it, because if a celebrity says it, it must be right.
Yeah, and I know that's not, I mean, in a way, it is kind of insane, sort of like the only thing that counts is celebrity. I'm not saying that at all.
No.
But it's not even celebrity so much as prominent, because a lot of people with ADD, they have been judged, shamed, condemned, criticized, and blamed for years. They internalize that. And then when the idea is ADD is presented to them, they often just view it as, here's another target you get to attack and beat me up.
Right.
And so that's why I think, you know, focusing on the strengths of ADD and seeing people in prominent positions with ADD having it and telling, you know, their story, good and bad, right, remove some of the shame and the stigma and makes it more socially acceptable to go public.
What got you into the coaching aspect of it?
I was selling Apple computers for pay. I sold them for free for a lot, many more years. So I was getting out of that, and I was sort of wondering, okay, what do I want to do? Because like, I had this view that I could do anything that I want if I really knew what I wanted. I'm sure I'm the only person on the planet to say that. But, and then I met up with a guy I knew who was a coach. He was doing other things that I knew him from, and you know, he's a coach. And his client gave him a Mac, and he's a PC guy. So we bartered coaching for Macintosh Computer Consulting. And I found coaching really useful, very practical, versus here's the theory, or let me just tell you, you know, talk about your feelings and just self-express and magically things will happen. I found it useful, and he gave me a radical clarity questionnaire from another coach, 10 pages of questions. I wrote 50 pages of answers. I went and saw the other coach who did that clarity questionnaire, and you know, he said, hey, why don't you help people like you, adults with ADD? And I thought, that's interesting, because when I got diagnosed, it was like, well, here's Ritalin and here's Dexedrine,
sure,
there
yeah.
you go, and there's nothing wrong with ADD meds, and people demonize them too much, and generally they're either too on the extreme, and the extreme is you take it and Satan will pop out horns out of your head and infect your apartment building, right?
Right, yeah.
Or all you need is the pills, and they'll magically teach you time management and self-management. And
no help.
You know, very, they're useful, but they're not a complete solution, right? And so I thought, okay, well, how, I didn't feel like going to med school. Did I want to get a PhD? Not really. And then I thought, well, coaching. Well, it worked for me. I was in sales for 7 years. I can sell anything that I think is useful, right? And coaching was useful for me. So, you know, I became the service, as it were.
Right. Do you find your coaching helps your own ADHD?
Yeah, it does, for many reasons. Because I used to be punished for being curious and sometimes being too helpful to people. Now I get paid for both, right? And asking questions boosts dopamine. So I get paid to self-medicate.
Right.
And, you know, people hire me to hyper-focus and get curious and help them. And, you know, so I actually enjoy it. I think I'm doing some good in the world. They keep coming back. And I learn a lot from my clients, because there are, you know, X symptoms of ADD if you look at, you know, whether a screening quiz or like full diagnostic. But they show up differently in different people, and ADDers aren't all clones, right?
Right. It's such a diverse reality.
Yeah. I mean, I used to make jokes about ADD accountants. I know more than 20 personally. I mean, I stopped counting at 20, right? There's generally not a lot of them, but, you know, it's a matter of interest. So
I hope they hyper-focus on numbers.
Yeah, yeah. It's not generally an area like,
no.
I wouldn't, not something for me. But you know what? You know, if it works for you, great. And so I learn from my clients, right? Because it's not a cookie cutter, hi, I have ADD and I am perfect, you know, superhuman guru on the mountain, and you just, you know, be like me and follow my 10 magic rules that will work for everyone in every circumstance, and, you know, magically your life will change, right? It's all customization, right? And in that customization, you know, I help them, but I also get ideas for me and my other clients.
So how do you get your clients? Is it by way of a physician, or do people have the euphoric or that eureka moment that you had and search out a coach?
Well, yeah, it's while ADD coaching is quite rewarding, it's from a marketing thing, it's not the easiest thing in the world to market when 90% of your target market is undiagnosed and untreated, don't know they have the condition.
Right.
And those that do are often in a variety of different jobs, and most of them are hidden in the ADD closet, versus if you're a sales coach, well, you know where to find people. If you're a life coach, you know, and you segment it, you could do it, or business for small business or corporate or whatever, right? So it's quite rewarding, but it's a little bit harder. So different coaches do different things. I'm an information junkie and I like to learn, and I've been on the internet before. I've been online before the internet existed. So I've created three websites. ADDCoachFree.com is the main coaching website. First blog is Adult ADD Strengths, and the second blog is BCADHD. So I've got about now 600, 700 or so pages on them. So I get clients from the different websites. I'm active on social media. I've been interviewed from a variety of media sources. I also run the Vancouver Adult ADD support group. We're pretty backwards here in BC. There's only two ADD support groups, mine and our parent group, Chad Vancouver, mm-hmm. on the board. And so I've been around for 14 years. So, you know, some people know me. So sometimes it's a referral from their doctor, psychologist, or psychiatrist. And occasionally it's also referral from clients. But the one thing about being an ADD coach is that to refer someone, whether it's, you know, myself or another ADD coach, to refer people to them or recommend them, they need to go public.
Right.
And many people with ADD don't go public.
So how can we get them to go public? I mean, that's the big stumbling block that I see. I mean,
that is the million-dollar question. Yeah. That is the big, big question, because it's what I call is the ADD catch-22.
Right.
Right? There's very few services for ADHD all across Canada and the world, and places in the States too, although the States are generally more advanced than us. But, you know, like, say, for example, in BC, many doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists have no training on ADHD, or very little, they tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And even now at UBC Med School, they have 1 hour in their entire program.
Right? What's that?
Massively insufficient. And the problem is, and I've talked to media and politicians, I'm an ex-poli-sci major, and they don't think ADD is real, or if it's a real problem, people would complain, right? And if no one's complaining, let's give money to whoever does complain.
Squeaky wheel.
And so, but ADDers are often too stigmatized to go public and complain, because if they do go public, not always, but often they'll get harassed, they'll get shamed, you know, it makes things worse at work. Sometimes it makes things better. And, you know, sometimes they get fired. I actually did a survey on that, because I was frustrated, because if you work with ADD, whether a coach, doctor, psychologist, you hear all the horror stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
From ADD. And there's positive stories as well.
Sure, yeah, it's not all
bad. My blog is Adult ADD Strengths, not Adult 99% Pathology. But you hear these things, but they don't tell them to other people.
Yeah.
Right? And you say, well, look, the reason you didn't got diagnosed until you're, you know, 40 or 50 is because everyone went ahead of you, didn't care about anybody else with ADD. are you going to be like them, or are you going to do something different, right? And until they start, you know, going public, nothing is going to change because no one else cares about us generally.
Yeah.
The medical profession, with a few exceptions, like some of the people in Kadra and Kadak doing great things, they don't usually do that much for us, right? Other than a small group of people who do work very hard. Most of them aren't going to go out of their way to do stuff for us. And a lot of people don't believe it exists, and so few people call out people in the media who are stigmatizing. I do it, and some others do it, but not enough. So until more speak out, nothing's going to change. So I did a questionnaire a while ago where I put it out, you know, like, if you have ADD and you haven't gone public, what would it take you to come out of the ADD closet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying everyone should come out of the ADD closet,
yeah.
right? And it's, you know, advantages of staying in and disadvantages of staying in too, right? And so I basically put those on my blog, Delta Sinks, what would it take to get diagnosed with ADD? And I put a bunch of answers there. And some of them are pretty interesting. You may want to check it out. Also, I'm trying to do another sort of, this one's a crowdsourced project. It's called Explain Adult ADD. Because a lot of people, if you've been taught that people from Botswana or Iceland are evil monsters with horns growing out of their head, and that's all you hear, or that's predominantly all you hear, and you don't really meet any of those people, what are you going to think about people from Iceland or Botswana?
Right.
Nothing against either of them, right? And it's the same thing with ADD, because for most people, I mean, it's starting to change a little bit, but for most people, the predominant narrative is negative, right? You know,
I've been in the media for a number of years, and this is one of the first issues I've ever seen where, say, something is announced pro-ADHD, and the next day, you're searching the media to see if there's negative reaction, because there usually is. And I've never seen that before in anything, let alone something to deal with health or mental health. I mean, well, mental health always gets a bad rap because it's, you know, it's not as obvious as some of the other things. But I've never seen such a thing that people will take the time and energy to say, no, it doesn't exist. What you just heard is wrong. And I don't know why, but...
It the media is one of the biggest problems for ADHD. And so often, not always, but if you read about people who are stigmatizing ADD, right, whether it be media or politicians, it seems to be that some of those people seem to have a lot of the characteristics of people
they have their
with
own
ADHD.
Issues.
And so I think for the media, I would argue it's an advantage for them to have ADD. It's a competitive edge because at work, you know, ADD is useful. What do? You ask questions. You boost dopamine. What do? You hyper-focus. What do you do when a politician or a business guy or a union boss says, you know, well, I was honest. I did nothing wrong. Oh, yes, sir. I'll just report that. No, you question. You use a little bit of that oppositional defiant disorder to sort of like question things. You multitask. You scan your surroundings for something new. You find a way to be creative to present it, right? That extra energy helps. You have an editor to kick your ass with deadlines, right? What ADDers need, deadlines. So at work, they don't perceive it's a problem.
No.
Now at home, they might be on the verge of divorce with their, you know, wife or husband, have problems with booze, drugs, gambling, spending, stuff like that. But at work, they don't see it's a problem.
But you know what? The stuff at home, and I've seen it happen. It hasn't happened to me, fortunately. But the stuff at home, if it goes sour, a lot of the times, those people blame their career. And ironically, it's not their career as much as their ADHD being undiagnosed.
Yeah. And the common thing there is blame the external. Don't look inward.
Right, right.
Don't look at me.
Don't find the cause.
In general with ADD, like some people when they, you know, when someone's brought it to their attention, you know, in some cases it's, oh, the light bulb goes, that explains it. It's a great relief. and they go out and get diagnosed. But for some people, it's, you know, well, they'll be on, you know, like I said, the 20th job or the third wife, you know, or husband, and until they start, you know, start finally looking inside, right?
And then there are other people who are called ADHD and they take it as an insult.
Yeah, because they believe the stigma. And so I would like, you know, more people to, you know, with ADD to find some way that they're comfortable mm-hmm. to spread awareness and accuracy about ADD. Like, for example, that explain ADD thing on my blog, they don't even have to, you know, use their full name if they don't want,
sure.
right? If they're still in the ADD closet, I'm just asking them to explain like one specific point versus like 5,000 points of light to get other non-ADDers to understand it. Because we might read a book or a video or parts thereof to understand ADD, but most non-ADDers won't, right? But I'm hoping that if I get enough stories, then people with ADD could send their family members who often are in denial of ADD or minimization to that site and sort of see different stories, because different people will explain things in different ways and different things resonate mm-hmm. with people, right? And if you pick one specific point versus, here, let me give you my 5-page rambling life story with, you know, they may not read that, but they might read one point. So I hope people out there with ADD, whether they're out of the ADD closet or still in, find some way, and this is one, and there's other ways, to help spread awareness of ADD, or when they're hearing stigma or ignorance, find some ways that they feel comfortable correcting it or counteracting it, or, you know, sharing some positive things about ADD, you know, on social media. They don't necessarily have to go public, but, you know, or, you know, some fact-based articles, or, you know, when someone says, you know, really ignorant stigma about ADHD, for them to understand it, and for them to understand ADD stigma too, because I find that, you know, a lot of my adult ADD coaching clients, they self-stigmatize, mm-hmm. right? And they believe some of the stigma about ADHD, and they stigmatize themselves. So, you know, if you're ADD, you want to learn not just about how ADD affects you, but also what's real and true about ADD and what's false, right? And find ways to explain that.
Well, Pete, the time has just flown by. We've got to get you back here on Club ADHD to tell us more, and we can talk about it and maybe make a difference. But I want to thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, thanks for having me, and good on you for doing that. And I hope that more people with ADHD find some ways that they're able to help people with ADD, help get the word out, help reduce stigma, help raise awareness, and there's many different ways, you know, and find some way that they can make a difference, because no one else is going to do it for us.
That was Pete Quilly. Pete is a professional adult attention deficit disorder coach, as well as an ADHD advocate. He's located in Vancouver. You can get more information about Pete by visiting addcoachforyou.com. That's addcoach, the number 4, the letter U.com. Well, that wraps up this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. Hey, don't forget to visit our Facebook page. It's officially listed as ADD Adult Group Club ADHD. However, if you go to your Facebook page and you go to the search part, the search engine, just type in Club ADHD. I think it comes up about the second on the list. It's the blue logo. You can't miss it. Click it and you'll go right to our group page. As well as our Club ADHD Twitter account is up and running. Now, the Twitter account, not doing as good as the Facebook page. We need more people to get on the Twitter account. And we could use more people on the Facebook page as well. And we could use more listeners. We can use a lot more listeners everywhere. So by all means, support us, please. All you have to do is visit and tell a friend. The more the merrier, especially if they have ADHD, but even if they don't have ADHD and they want to learn about it, about adult ADHD. Don't forget, we upload a new podcast every other Tuesday with the next upload slated for Tuesday evening, October 17th, 2017. Just in case you happen to be listening to this podcast in 2018 or 19. A special thank you once again going out to our guest, Pete Quilley. A special thank you going out to CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, for helping to make all this happen, Club ADHD. Remember, the annual CADAC conference is happening Saturday and Sunday, October 14th and 15th, 2017. Now, for more information, all you have to do is visit their website, cadac.ca. Matter of fact, if you want information about ADHD, that's the place to go. CADAC, CADDAC.ca. And a special thank you and a round of applause going out to you, the listener. Be sure to tell a friend, bring them on board. For next time, on behalf of Club ADHD, this is Russ LeBlanc, reminding you that, hey, we're not crazy, just a little different. We'll catch you again in 2 weeks' time.